Hi, my name is Sydney Mitchell.
Hi, I'm Matthew Brickman, Florida Supreme Court mediator. Welcome to the Mediate This podcast, where we discuss everything mediation and conflict resolution.
Hello, everyone. We are so excited for you to be here listening to the first episode in the first season of Mediate This. I'm Sydney, and I'm sitting here with Matthew. Matthew, how you doing? You excited?
I am so excited. So very excited to be here.
Really looking forward to diving into this content. And if you haven't listened to episode zero right before this, yes, there's an episode zero, go and listen to it. Matthew kind of gives, it's like 2 or 3 minutes long. He's going to give you a brief overview of what you can expect listening to this podcast, what different kinds of topics we're going to be delving into when it relates to mediation. And so Matthew, before we go into your story, your upbringing, your family, you've got a crazy story as to how you got into mediation. Before we do that, briefly tell us what it is exactly that you do.
Okay. So in a nutshell, just to give it to you, just in a nutshell, I am a certified conflict resolution specialist who through mediation empowers people who are experiencing fear and chaos to find hope and peace. I help people in conflict achieve peaceful resolutions, saving them tens of thousands of dollars in legal fees. I mean, who doesn't want to save money? I guide mothers and fathers as they create enforceable agreements that will set a new tone where they can peacefully co-parent, limit their conflicts, and create a safe and stable future for themselves and their children. So that's what I do in a nutshell.
So I hear you saying mediation is, it's just that you're a guide and you guide families and parents through the midst of some really challenging conflicts. And I'm looking forward to hearing some more of your stories.
Oh yes.
To make peaceful agreements and so that they can co-parent well.
Yeah.
And so you're primarily a family mediator. And so I know, you know, a lot of the case for you is you've got parents that are going through a divorce. They come to you and you help them make those agreements. As you mentioned in episode zero, I am actually from a divorced family. My parents were divorced when I was very young, and I lived my entire life, you know, until I was 18 on a parenting plan. And so I'm a result of basically what you do. And I know that we have a totally different story. So tell us about your upbringing and your family.
Okay. So yeah, it is opposite because my parents are still married. It'll be 50 years next year. So 2021, it'll be 50 Ooh, years.
Congratulations.
Yeah. So, I mean, my parents are still married. They met in high school. And so I come from a family of three other siblings. So there's four kids and my parents. I was raised in a Christian home. And then I got married at 21. Had my daughter at 21, had my son at 23, and then ended up in divorce at 28. And it was a very quick, easy, nothing divorce. We sat on the floor Sunday night, Mother's Day night. I know Mother's Day is coming up.
Happy Ironically, everybody. Yes.
But yeah, I mean, so yeah, Mother's Day night, we filled out paperwork and we filed it the very next day and we were divorced 3 days before Father's Day. So it was a very amicable divorce that turned into a 13 and a half year war.
Wow.
We had many, many, many battles, but you know what, you know, we're not going to get into all the gory details because I actually talk about that in a book that I wrote that you can go find on iTunes. It's called You're Not the Only One. So if you go to the iBookstore, Apple's bookstore, and you can either keyword Matthew Brickman, you can just keyword You're Not the Only One and download the free book. What's really neat is that book was actually published before my war ended. So we're going to talk about in some of these episodes, you know, how it actually ended. But to get all the gory details, I'm not going to just bore you because there's chapters and chapters in that book of all the gory details of all the things I went through. But yeah, I mean, I experienced, you know, just like I said in my opening, you know, like, what do I do? Well, I empower people who are experiencing fear and chaos to find hope and peace. And I'll tell you, Sydney, I experienced fear and chaos after my divorce. And after being in and out of the court system and filing 43 motions for contempt enforcement.
Whenever you say that, I'm blown away every time.
Yeah. I mean, 43 motions of contempt enforcement over the course of 13 and a half years. Like, this is somebody I was divorced from. Like, you were no longer the boss of me. Like, you're not. Yet I gave her control over my emotions. You know, she would, you know, she knew my buttons better than I knew my buttons. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it took me 13 and a half years. You know, I finally found that hope and peace mm-hmm. and forgiveness. Now, during that 13 and a half years, I hoped for peace and hoped for justice in court, but I found that the family court is part of the judicial system, not mm-hmm. the justice system. And I never found mm-hmm. justice. And if anybody listening can gather just one of the best pieces of information ever, you know, going through this, is so many people like myself were going through the process thinking, okay, I'm going to go to court and this is how it's going to work. And I'm going to get justice. I'm going to get justice. And we're not in the justice system. We're in the judicial system. And it can be very daunting, very scary. And that's where I come in, to help with that fear and chaos so that people can find hope and peace.
So you were really in the thick of it. And so this process for you lasted about 13 years. You hear about divorces being a lengthy process, but I feel like you just set a record of some kind.
Well, no, I mean, our divorce, like I said, was Mother's Day to Father's Day. That's like probably the shortest divorce, like really, really simple and easy.
But the process of making the agreement.
Well, we had an agreement. It was just violations, constant violations of the agreement. Mm-hmm. And I mediate for people constantly who get agreements, or I've even been their mediator. And then they keep coming back going, okay, we've got an agreement. They're not following it. We've got an agreement. They're not mm-hmm. following it. And so, you know, you just keep running to court, hoping that you're going to get some sort of justice. Mm-hmm. And you fail to realize you're in the judicial system, not the justice system. But mediation, to me, it's a place of hope.
Right.
And it's a place of peace, because this is, whether it's a divorce or whether the parties were never married and have a kid and now they've realized, wow, this relationship isn't working out. It is a very emotionally, psychologically, mentally, right, an expensive process. It wears on you in ways that you never realize. Like, I mean, it was hard for me to sleep for like 13 and a half years. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, because I would sleep and in my mind, I would formulate a legal argument that I would make when I went to my hearing eventually, mm-hmm. months after I filed my paperwork. And I'll tell you, Sydney, not one argument that I ever made in my head ever came out of my mouth, because it never played out in court the way that I played it out in my head. And I didn't have a chance to say things, or they would say something, I'd get derailed, and then afterward I'd be like, oh my gosh. So yeah, it is just, and I'll tell you, it takes a toll on your relationship with your kids, with your friends, with your family, with your coworkers. I mean, it's draining.
Right. So I haven't yet been married, will someday, but have not yet been married, and obviously haven't been divorced either. So you talk about this process being really, really taxing, obviously for, you know, at the time for you and your ex-wife. What's it like when that chaos and that conflict, I would imagine, I mean, you know, for my family, I experienced several divorces in my immediate family, and their conflict, either directly or indirectly created, it changed things in the household. How did that chaos affect your family, your kids, and I'm sure maybe some other people too?
I'll tell you two times that just really jump out even today. And, you know, my kids are now 22 and 24, mm-hmm. but it seems like yesterday. I remember being in Texas at my brother and sister-in-law's house for Christmas one year. And I remember being on the back porch and sitting there with my sister-in-law and my grandmother. And they were like, Matthew, you know, you've just got to forgive. You've got to let this go. And I'm like, you don't understand. You don't get it. And for years, it put a strain on my relationship because I really felt like I was ganged up on and they didn't understand. And I was like, well, then fine, checkbox, I'm done with you. Right. Mm-hmm. The running joke in my family was, if you can date Matthew longer than 2 weeks, you've got to be something special, because You know, I mean, I was a ball of energy and usually negative energy. And so it affected my ability to date, because like 2 weeks into it, it was like, yeah, goodbye, you know, for both of us. I mean, things that I was like, I'm not putting up with this. And they're like, yeah, I'm not dealing with this crazy. It also put a huge strain with my kids. The second thing I remember one night, and this was when my son was in high school, and it was just the stress of everything. Whether or not people directly talk to their children about their conflict or not, which they never, ever, 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 ever should. I cannot emphasize that enough. You leave your kids out of adult conversations. The older they get, they hear it. I don't know if you were aware, because you were the child that I'm talking about that.
Right, right.
Right. So I don't know if you ever like heard your parents arguments and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, some conversations in passing, I heard, I definitely have had my fair share of hearing arguments behind closed doors.
Did you hear stuff like as they were talking to people on the phone about a certain situation?
Sure. Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah.
And so I remember, I had court coming up, and my son, very bright, very, very bright. He was in high school, and he had overheard it, and he was upset. And I went into his room, and we got into some argument about something. Now, I don't remember what it was, but I know that he had overheard and was upset about it.
Sure.
And we ended up knocked down, drag out, yelling match. Never got physical, but just yelling, to the point where the neighbors called the police.
Oh my God.
And the police showed up to see if everybody was okay.
Wow.
And they actually took me and my son aside, asked us what happened, and yeah, our stories match. Nobody got physical. But I mean, and like a light bulb went off going, oh my gosh, it is affecting them now.
Yeah. You know, oh, definitely.
You know, and eventually the courts ordered myself, the kids, and my ex-wife into therapy. The courts, and it's bad when the court goes, you're so dysfunctional, you're going, because the courts are dysfunctional. But they actually order us into so yeah, it takes a huge toll on the family, huge toll. And amazingly enough, I was able to go to work every day and be a mediator and help everybody else, but I could not get out of my own way.
Hmm.
And once I was able to forgive, and once I was able to move on, and we'll get into that later in other episodes or whatnot, but once I was able to come to that, oh my gosh, my business was booming, and I was able to be even more impactful and helpful, because I was no longer in my own way. I wasn't bringing my baggage into the room trying to help people that had their own baggage. Like I was able to come in clear going, all right, I've worked through this. I've been here, done this, and I've gotten to the goal line. I'm done. Like I scored, game is over. But that wasn't enough for me. I was like, let me come back and now help others get through it. Like, I don't need to be the only one who's figured this out and then survived it. I want to help others survive and thrive, not just through the process, but even on the other side of it.
Yeah, that's so good. That's so key. And I can see how somebody considering mediation, that would be an important thing to them. Maybe our listeners are considering mediation. You're somebody that's been through the thick of it and you really understand those ins and outs. I've got a couple of questions on that, but really quick, I heard you mention that, obviously this process is very expensive.
Sure.
And your journey seems to have been quite a long one. How much did it cost you? How much did your divorce cost you and your ex-wife?
Okay. So the divorce cost us the filing fee. We paid $409. That was it. We were divorced. Like back then there was no mediation requirements. We didn't have attorneys. It was we just had to pay the filing fee. That was all, filing fee. Now post-divorce, 13 and a half years with attorney's fees and everything on my end. I don't know what she spent. I spent 20 grand.
Wow.
The typical cost, and these were new statistics I found online just recently. Average divorce with attorneys costs $30,000, so $15,000 each. Takes approximately 22 months to resolve. Now contrast that with me. 20% of my business, there's no attorneys involved. I work with phenomenal attorneys. Out of the almost, I think, 600 or so attorneys that I've worked with, there's like five of them that are the typical poster children of attorneys that people like, oh my gosh, I hate attorneys. They're sharks. They're awful people. No. Family attorneys are phenomenal. Most of them are, moms, dads. They've been through the process. A lot of them have been divorced. They understand it. They're wonderful people. But not always do you need an attorney. Not always can you afford an attorney. So with me,
I think a lot of people don't realize that either.
Yeah. Yeah.
That you don't need an attorney.
Well, so, you know, it was a number of years. I think it was 2008, I think somewhere around there. Maybe a little bit later, was when law started to change and you no longer needed an attorney to go into a courtroom. But in Florida, they made mediators a statutory requirement. And so what they found was mediation works, and it's a place where the parties now have vested interest monetarily. They then also have a say, they have more creative say. And so, you know, coming to me, you know, 20% of my business, there are no attorneys involved, and people can come to me, get through the entire process. That's paying their filing fee, their mediation fee, their parenting class, and do it for under $3,000 and take maybe about a month or so to resolve, depending on their timeline and how fast they file and how fast they fill out their paperwork. But there's a big contrast between $30,000 and $3,000 and 22 months and 1 month. But, you know, the choice is up to them, but it's definitely an option.
And one of the things that I've heard you say in our own conversations, and, you know, as we've kind of prepared for this and you telling me about what it is that you do, you help families take control of their own situation.
Yeah.
You know, I think maybe some of our listeners have a preconceived notion of, you know, they're going to hire a mediator and they're going to get into this room and the mediator is going to be the one, you know, facilitating conversation, but making the decisions. I've heard you explain it this way, that you're there to guide, you know, parents or couples in finding creative solutions to achieve the agreement that they want.
Yeah. And so, you know, one of the just amazing things about mediation is in mediation, the parties, mom, dad, husband, wife, husband, doesn't matter. The two people in dispute in mediation, they're in charge. The attorney is not in charge. Mm-hmm. I am not in charge. A judge is not in charge. They're in charge. They get to make their own decisions. I'm there to empower them. I'm there to give them creative suggestions. I'm there to give explanations.
Show them the options.
Yeah, but I have no decision-making authority. I'm not a judge. I have no decision-making authority. I make space for them to make their own decision. And that decision can be to settle, or that decision can be to give up their decision-making authority and let a judge tell them. But either way, I make a space for them to take control however they want to take control.
Did you feel that you had that opportunity in your own journey? Were you,
what was
your experience like, you know, being on the other end of, you know, mediation and then later on in life becoming a mediator?
Okay. Fun story. I just recently had a mediation with an attorney named Karen Johnson. And yes, Karen, I'm going to use your name. You're a phenomenal attorney, a phenomenal mediator. And I had the best attorney in the world, Ronnie Divac. Oh my gosh, I love Ronnie. Those two women inspired me to do what I'm doing today. If not for Ronnie Divac and if not for Karen Johnson, I would not be a mediator. Karen Johnson was my mediator. She's an attorney up in Stewart, and Ronnie Divac is an attorney down in Palm Beach Gardens. And I don't remember, like, it was so funny. If I ever had to pull my mediator out of a lineup, which hopefully Karen will never be in a lineup, but if I ever had to, they ever said, okay, which one was your mediator? I could not pick her out. I don't remember what she looked like. My day of mediation was such an empowering day, but it was a fog because, you know, so much information is being thrown at you.
Like you said, I mean, it's emotionally
draining. It's taxing. Absolutely. But she inspired me because I sat in mediation going, this is the coolest process in the world. I could do this. And she was so empowering to me. Not only did she empower me to take control of my life that day, she empowered me to change the entire course and direction of my life and was such an inspiration. And it was interesting. Just recently, I had a mediation with her. She was the attorney. And I said to her, hey, do you remember me? And she's like, almost like, okay, what did I do? Right. And I'm like, no. You were my mediator back in like 2001 or 2002. And you know, it's 2020. Wow. Like, and she's like, really? And I'm like, you inspired me to sit here and do what I'm doing today. Like, wow, and she was like amazing. Blown away. But yeah, I mean, mediation is a place of empowerment. I had a mediation. I actually, one of the first virtual mediations I ever did was for a really, really great couple. And the wife ended up becoming a mediator. I did her mentorship. She is now a certified mediator in the state of Florida.
Wow, that's amazing.
So, I mean, this is infectious.
That's going to be so rewarding for you, huh?
It is. It is. So, I mean, just like for me, not only was I empowered that day to take control of my life, but it also empowered me and gave me, you know, a direction for my life. Mm-hmm. And that is hope and peace. Like, right? Like, wow, to actually be able to create peace and have a hope that, wow, I've got a new direction for my life. You know, they say that the two most important days in your life are the day you were born and the day you find out why. And for me, you know, 17 months after our divorce, we were ordered to mediation. And because of Karen and because of Ronnie, that was the day that I found out why I was put on this planet. And, you know, she inspired me and, you know, the rest is history, you know, it absolutely changed my life. Again, not just that day, because that day was a turning point. It didn't finish our war, but it was a defining moment in our battle, because all of a sudden there was a shift in my mind that was that, you know, she planted a seed of peace and becoming a peacemaker. And then I had to cultivate that and water that, and it grew. But, you know, at times, and you'll find out through some of my stories, Sydney, I'm a slow learner. I'm a man. Sometimes
slow learners though. Sometimes I could say the same thing about myself,
but I'll tell you, my grandmother, bless her heart, bless her soul, she passed a couple years ago. She used to always say, Matthew, you know what? Come easy, come hard. But you know what? You always end up coming around. And so these days I always stop and should be like, okay, what's the path of least resistance? Okay, I'm just going to take that. I don't have time for the noise and chaos, because I'm busy trying to help others with noise and chaos.
Right. So once you're, go ahead.
I said, so, you know, I mean, I didn't always want to be a mediator. I mean, I didn't even know it until I was in mediation. I didn't even know what mediation was. You know, there were no podcasts about what's mediation. What do you expect? There was nothing.
Exactly. So when your case was all said and done and over with, were you able, and this is my last question that I want to wrap up for episode one.
Okay.
Were you able to co-parent with your ex-wife successfully in an environment that was safe and that was stable for your kids?
No. And I know that's probably not the answer you were looking for.
I was kind of hoping you were going to say yes.
Yeah, no. Because if it was, I would not have filed 43 motions of contempt enforcement.
Fair.
Remember, it was 17 months after our divorce that we were ordered to mediation. And then we're talking 13 and a half years. So our mediation agreement gave us a whole lot more structure that we did not have in our own divorce that we did ourselves. And so we were able to create more structure that started to put us on a path. I mean, look, you can have all the structure in the world, and if you don't have somebody on the other side that's going to follow it, then that's going to lead you to court. And that's, unfortunately, that's where we kept ending up. But, you know, did it set us on a path? Yes. Did we finally get there? Eventually. Was it hard co-parenting? It is always hard to co-parent. It just is. It's just hard to co-parent. But you know, we were able to finally get to a place of co-parenting when I came to a place of forgiveness with her. And that was about me choosing to set a new tone in my life and for my kids.
We've certainly, I mean, even just from, you know, these past, you know, a few minutes we've been chatting, I mean, you certainly have learned so much, not only from your own experiences and, you know, but your education, your training, which we'll talk about maybe in the next episode, but just want to recap a little bit of what we've talked about. So mediation is a process that allows families in fear and chaos dealing with conflict, find hope and peace in whatever their situation is. And so hear that, listeners, there is hope for whatever struggles you find yourself in. We learned about how much it costs to get divorced, how pricey that it can be, and maybe some good ways to get around that or to find a fast, quick solution. And then as well, we introduced some of the effects of divorce on the family. And I'm really looking forward to in the next few episodes discussing with you, Matthew, more about that tone. You know, what you say, you know, what do you mean when you say the tone of your family, you know, the depths of what that means and looks like, as well as how to peacefully co-parent. And so I'm like I said, I'm really looking forward to delving into some more of these topics with you, Matthew. Thank you so much.
For more information about my services or to schedule your mediation with me, either in person or using my iChat mediation virtual platform built by Cisco Communications, visit me online at imediateinc.com. Call me at 561-262-9121, toll free at 877-822-1479, or email me at mbreckman@ichatmediation.com.